one of those things that just, it's like a comfort food, grilled cheese. And they're saying that 75% of people can't make a good grilled cheese. And that makes me sad.
What are your technique? What is your technique? Excuse me.
It's funny you should ask. My grandmother, who would have been 91 years old this week, was a lunch lady.
Okay.
And
at a school.
At a school, yeah.
She made a lot of grilled cheese.
She made more grilled cheese than anybody else, mm-hmm. unless you were also a lunch lady, then you know exactly what that was
like. I knew one, yeah. Yeah. They've done a lot.
The best part about my grandmother being a lunch lady, though, was that two of my cousins are teachers, were teachers at that school. So they would walk out of the lunch line and they would have like 600 chicken nuggets and 14 grilled cheeses on their plates.
So awesome.
Right. Like when your
to know somebody in line.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the best places to know somebody in the CAF is school and jail.
Yeah.
So perfect. Yeah.
And the kids used to love her. She didn't speak a word of English and could care less. If kids wanted extra tater tots, she would just give it to them.
Kids are hungry.
Yeah.
She knows what they want and they know how to communicate with somebody.
I mean, she spoke only Italian. She never learned English. So, which is weird since she was here for 40 years, but whatever. Anyway.
Grilled cheese paved her way.
Yes.
She didn't need to open any more doors. Okay.
So it would be the white bread, mm-hmm. and she would wipe the butter on the bread.
Yeah.
And then she would put two slices of the American cheddar cheese. And then what she would do is she would put it on parchment paper, and you would bake it, and then halfway through, she would flip it. And that was how she made the perfect grilled cheese at the school lunches. And I remember that when she would make it for us, it was our favorite thing in the whole world.
I don't think I've ever baked a grilled cheese in my life.
Well, it's because you never had to make hundreds at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting, right? Because it would take some of that greasy, it would take a lot of that out of there. How much butter would she go? So are you going to the corners? Do you wait for the butter to thaw out before you spread it? Like if it's Anna Zapp making grilled cheese, how do you do it?
If it's me making grilled cheese, I use I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, which yep. I know some people would like to chastise for me for saying that out loud, but I do. And I put it all over. And mm-hmm. when I make grilled cheese for my kids, I'll make it in the pan.
Right.
So I put the butter on both sides. Mm-hmm. I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. And I put it in. I put the two slices of American cheese, the one that comes in the Saran wrap. You know, like the
real deal.
Yeah. So it lasts forever. You know, yeah. We always got cheese at my house. I bought it 3 years ago. It's got the Saran wrap on it. They're individually wrapped. It'll be good for the rest of my life.
Okay. I'm not going to be the person to point out it's not real cheese, but you already knew that
it's
anyways.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Yep. Fine.
All right.
And then I put it in the pan and then I'll toast it with a little Pam and then I'll flip it halfway through and that's okay. pretty much it.
That's it. So, yep. You know, you're not one of these people that ventures out and does like the mayonnaise or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. Because that's a thing.
Yep.
And it does not burn. I've tried it myself. And when people don't know about that and they come across you making one, they look at you like you're a crazy person.
61% of Americans say that grilled cheese is their favorite sandwich. And back from when I used to be able to have dairy and bread, mm-hmm. I would argue that it was also mine.
I think it's the best day after a long night mm-hmm. sandwich for me. But I mean, I'm always going to prefer a hoagie instead of a grilled cheese. They just don't make it big enough. Listen, if you can make a grilled cheese somehow 12 inches long, then I'm there for that.
That makes me miss my nonna. When you're gone and all that's left is your friends and family's memories of you, would you like to be reincarnated into a robot?
This is a big debate that's going to be happening with humans.
Mm-hmm. Because now Suzanne Summers is. Trending is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale and get 40% off paints and stains now through October 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. I have never spent so much time wondering if I wanted to be a robot in one day.
They say, basically, that if you can live the next 50 to 70 years, like this will be a reality.
I mean, it already is. If you're not familiar with Suzanne Summers, she was an actress. She was famous for Three's Company, and then she had the Thigh Master. She put out a bazillion books, I think 27 books. But she was married to a man named Alan Hamill.
She was my everything.
Next year, we will have been together for 50 years.
2 years after her death, Suzanne's husband is reconnecting with his late wife.
What are you doing after the show?
Ooh, drum roll, please. I'm all sparkly lights and excitement.
Is he talking to a robot wife that's dead? Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
That is exactly what's happening.
Oh my gosh, it's a miracle, Anna.
In what might seem like a sci-fi twist, you're watching footage of Alan Hamill testing a robot version of the beloved Three's Company star.
Maybe one day I'll be the star of a reality show, The Real Robot Housewives of Silicon Valley.
Still making jokes. Listen, they're already talking about this for your Alexa, for your Google at home, too, is that they're moving more to the companion side of things. And they're saying for lonely people, this is going to be a big deal. So if you're dealing with loss, I think that this is part of it, you know?
But that's what so when I watch this and I look at Alan Hamill, who spent his entire life loving this woman.
Right,
and
obviously.
He's clearly in grief.
Yes.
Right? And I think this robot looks nothing like Suzanne Somers.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a robot, you know, with a wig on it. And he says he can't tell the difference between her and his late wife.
Well,
that's not real.
His eyesight isn't great.
Oh my God.
But if it makes him feel better, the big deal, right?
But the question is, would she have wanted this, right? And it turns out that back in the 80s, this was presented to them and she was into it.
Yeah.
And what they do is they take the 27 books that she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
All the interviews that she had done over her lifetime, because, you know, of course there was a lot. She was a famous person.
And they upload it.
Yes, and they do it so that she responds in the way that Suzanne Somers would have responded. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, I could see why this would be great. I could see, like, if your family misses you and they want to connect, this is the closest that they're ever going to be able to get now that you're gone.
You want to finish a Beatles album. Yes, all these different ways. This is AI stepping in and doing that, right?
But,
and just basically, you know, thinking for that person. On the other hand, you know, there's no soul.
But what do you do
or
when...
is there?
No, but what do you do when things go wrong? So in all these videos...
Suzanne Somers turns on them?
Yeah, well, so they keep showing all these videos of where she's responding. And she's being robotic, but she's talking about her love with her husband. Been Alan, but I found a clip where it wasn't working well.
Okay.
Does the name Alan Hamill mean anything to you?
He's asking, does the name Alan Hamill mean anything to you? She's not responding, the robot.
Yeah.
Does the name Alan Hamill mean anything to you?
Her handler asks again.
I apologize. The internet is really bad.
The internet.
Yeah. He says the internet is slow down here. Yeah. It's not working. So now you're
she's not working because
the Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi. So now your robot wife doesn't work anymore.
What about if your robot wife, this is the one that you've basically, Suzanne Somers, she's passed at this point. What if she wants a divorce and she wants to date 30 years younger than her?
Yes or no? Do you want to be a robot when you die? Yes or no? Nope. Yes or no?
I mean, maybe.
No. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I want to be able to fly, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're all so weird. I love it. If you're having trouble sleeping, maybe you just randomly wake up in the middle of the night like I do. You are not alone.
Mm.
30 to 40% of people have problems either just falling asleep or staying asleep at night.
Yeah.
And for the unfortunate 15% of people, you have chronic insomnia, which means you suffer this more than 3 days a week for over 3 months.
I've had insomnia at different times in my life. You know, listen, I've actually had some trouble sleeping lately, but it's not insomnia. That's a different thing than what I had before. I had it before where it would go on for months, where you would just not be able to sleep more than a couple hours, and it would happen at different times of the day. And it's a lot. Like,
so,
you don't see right. Your mind isn't working right. Like, it's a lot.
But the thing is when you're awake in the middle of the night, what do you do? That's what
now I handle it differently.
Yeah. So I get up for work every weekday at about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So on the weekends, my body naturally wakes up at 3 a.m., even if I don't have to go to work. So I do this. And honestly, it doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah.
But I do the number one thing you're not supposed to do. I grab my phone.
But that's exactly what you're not.
Yeah. I research vacations for my family on places I want to go that I'll probably never be able to visit.
Well, I kind of like that, though, that aspect of it.
Right. I go on Reddit and I just deep dive things that don't mean anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of nonsense. I reply to work emails. I'm one of those people that you'll get emails from me in the middle of the night, like that have to do with work, because that's when I have time to answer them.
Yeah.
And then after about an hour, hour and a half, I go back to sleep until like my kids wake me up.
Yeah. One thing is when you're suffering from not sleeping, everybody has advice. Everybody has advice. But one thing that I learned over time was the doctors would say is just stop trying to sleep at that point. Do something. So get up and do an activity. Researching vacation, I don't think is that bad. But of course, when you pick up your phone, it's no good. Reading is good. You can do that. Cleaning, maybe, you know, whatever, something random. Of course, everybody else is asleep around you.
But
can't go out and mow the lawn.
People do weird things. Like, I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Kelly says she reviews hints on Ancestry or she does her Amazon shopping. Yes.
Yeah, shopping is good.
Yeah. Sue says she listens to Let's Read Horror Stories on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay. Madeline plays a farming game. Yeah, that's fun.
All right.
Yeah. What do you do? 1-800-330-9999. Lucinda.
So we just moved, and now we have a dishwasher, which is very exciting. But I wake up in the middle of the night to load and unload the dishes. Like, I'll start a cycle before I go to bed. And in the middle of the night, I just interrupt the cycle thinking I have to take the dishes out. And then, like, I'll put random things in the dishwasher and wash it throughout the night.
That's like our friend that she would just clean the house in the middle of the night. Mm. Never once did I wake up in the middle of the night and was like, I should do chores. Never. It's never crossed my mind.
I mean, if you've got stuff that you can get ready or handle. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten stuff ready before for the next day. I don't know about stopping cycles. I let that dishwasher just sing me right back to sleep.
Yeah.
I like to listen to that thing go.
What's that weirdo thing you do in the middle of the night when you can't sleep? 1-800-330-9999. You're sound asleep, then all of a sudden your eyes just pop open. You look over at the clock, it's 1 a.m. and you can't go back to sleep.
Yeah, that's miserable.
And you're not alone. 30 to 40% of people, myself included, have insomnia or some form of it. We're weird people and we do things in the middle of the night that you're not supposed to do.
Listen, just laying there in bed is suffering. If the dog, I hear him roll over, I'll take him outside. Whatever I can do to keep myself busy or distracted.
I go into the black hole of Reddit. I start reading articles about things that, I mean, no grown woman should ever read. You know.
But you're learning at least.
Kinda. What's the thing you do, the weirdo thing you do when you can't sleep in the middle of the night? 1-800-330-9999. Kevin.
I journal. I actually will journal. If I had a dream, I'll write it down and then I'll journal for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And that kind of centers me and gets me back to sleep.
That's what you're supposed to do. I always email myself. But yeah. The problem is like when you're half awake and you email yourself,
like it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't even make sense.
Day.
It'll be like blue moon yellow. Yep. I'll be like, what?
You'll be like, yeah, of course. And when you write the note, you know that it's not enough. But you say to yourself, no, I'll definitely remember. This is a big thought. I'll have it. Nope.
You'll never remember
it. It's gone.
What you write, is it cohesive? Can you understand it afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, if I can't sleep, it's usually pretty cohesive. But once in a while, like I'll see some gibberish there that I won't understand the next day.
My penmanship would suffer.
Olivia, your insomniac habit. What do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep?
Okay, I turn on the TV and I look at my phone. And I know both are bad because of the blue light, but I don't know what else to do.
Do you watch anything in particular or look for any type of particular type show? Does that help?
Yeah, so I like to watch Nick at Night. So I'll turn on Friends.
Okay.
Because I've seen all the episodes. So it's like I don't have to pay attention, but I can like hear it in the background.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get that.
It kind of lulls me back to sleep.
Yeah. Comfort stuff. I get that. Like familiar movies and whatnot. I get that. With me, it's the nature, whatever nature show is on. If there's like, you know, Planet Earth or Frozen Planet or anything with Sir David Attenborough doing the voiceover. Yeah, I'm in. Or Sigourney Weaver or Obama. Oh, his ones are real good. Put you right out.
I've never made it through an entire episode.
You can't.
You can't.
They're so beautifully shot, but I don't know where it goes.
Yep. I went through a period where with both my babies, when the middle of the night feedings, because after you feed them, sometimes you can't fall back asleep.
Right.
And I would watch the poker series, like the World Poker Series.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
nice.
Like, who cares? Like, you're watching. You're like, what would I do? And you're, you know, you're, and then all of a sudden you fall back asleep and you're like, who cares? I don't know who won.
I love that, though. Yeah. If you catch a couple hands in there.
It was a lot. I used to watch a lot of poker.
Chris, how about you? You wake up, you've got insomnia, you can't sleep. What are you going to do?
I get hungry in the middle of the night. So sometimes I'll get up and I'll go to the fridge. Eating can actually help me get tired again.
Can't leave my room. Once I leave my room, it's like I'm just up for the day. I don't know how people go and eat in the middle of the night. And a lot of people do it.
Digestion will make you tired again. I mean, it's the worst thing to do for eating habits, obviously. But, you know, if you're going to be up anyways, sometimes a little snack will help. You ever wake up with like a craving? You know, it's almost like you're dreaming about something and you wake up and you want something to eat.
What's your go-to thing? Are you getting ice cream? Are you getting chips? Are you eating cheese?
I'll grab a couple cookies and I'll grab some milk. And that's like my go-to.
Mm.
I'm a cereal guy.
Bowl of cereal.
Yeah. Yep. Because then you don't care if you don't finish too. You're just like, whatever. But if you get to the end and you want a little more, oh, you can just top it right in on that sweet milk. That's the technique right there.
Anna and Raven's Halloween headlines.
Some shows report real news. We'd rather just stick to Halloween news. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, I mean, real versus, you know, whatever. It's all eye of the beholder type stuff, right?
Yeah. And speaking of Halloween news, it's one of the most treasured traditions when it comes to Halloween. Trick-or-treating. But is it over, Raven? Is
Come
it
on.
Dead? Some adults are claiming that trick-or-treating is officially gone.
So the other day I was asking my cousin, I'm like, what are you going to be for Halloween? And he said something like, I'm going to be a bat. But anyways, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Are you excited for trick-or-treating? He then kind of scoffs at me. He's like, no one goes trick-or-treating anymore. He's like, it's trunk-or-treat, not trick-or-treat.
So trunk-or-treat's making a huge, huge impact.
I mean, it's been going on for a number of years now at this point. I feel like it really got its leg under itself during the pandemic, too. You know, it's sad to say, like, all these things continue to affect stuff. But I want people back in my neighborhood.
Mm.
I do, Anna.
Apparently, it's lame to trick-or-treat now.
What?
And it's cool to trunk-or-treat. You just go to people's trunks, I guess. I don't even know how that works. And apparently, if you like trick-or-treating now, you're lame.
So,
my
little one has...
I wish I had known that before.
A trick-or-treat event at an elderly home with her Girl Scout troop.
Okay, but that's
a little
bit different.
She has the town parade where all the towns give the candy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the town trunk-or-treat.
Okay.
There is a lot of opportunities and events that... She doesn't need to go trick-or-treating on Halloween night.
Are you telling me that you don't take her?
No, I'm going to because I feel obligated to because that's what I have to do as an adult and
yes,
a parent.
Yes, that's
but
right.
I will tell her she has to pick 5 houses and that's it.
5 houses?
Yeah, that's it.
5 houses. What nonsense is that? That's not even. That's one side of the street.
The houses are probably far away from each other. It's going to take a while.
Probably. You don't even know where you're going yet at this point?
It's dark.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. You can decide. There's so many different candy opportunities. I don't think kids care that much anymore about the trick-or-treating on Halloween night.
But it's not just about the candy. It was about the running around. It was about the, you know, being out there with your group of friends or whatever, screaming, yelling. And, you know, whatever. Like, that was part of the fun.
Yeah. Speaking of part of the fun, it certainly wasn't fun for us. But I want to read a headline that I saw when I woke up earlier today.
Okay.
Tomorrow is National Trick-or-Treat Day, a.k.a. Fake Halloween. It's a movement to push Halloween to the last Saturday of October to make it easier for parents. Some started a petition in 2018. It was us. Yeah.
Some.
Yeah, some people. No,
they didn't even say some people. They just said some.
Just said some.
Some started this.
To permanently change the date of Halloween. It didn't work then. It didn't. We went to all kinds of government officials.
You spent 8 hours in a Capitol one time.
We spent 8 hours.
That was just like 10 days after
Capitol.
I had neck surgery, too. It wasn't a good idea.
We had thousands of signatures. We had a binder full. We wanted to make the last Saturday of October. We did this 7 years ago.
Yes, for kids to be able to go ahead and trick-or-treat.
And
that was it. Adults could do whatever
teachers.
They wanted to. That's right.
It was for the teachers, too, because the teachers always say when trick-or-treating falls during the week, the kids are a disaster the following day. So we figured if we just made trick-or-treat day the last day of October,
yeah.
Then you would be able to not worry about it because they would be able to sleep in the next day and not have school.
Long story short, we got up there. We gave our presentation to the lawmakers, and they basically were like, get out of here.
They laughed us out of the room. We waited 8 hours for our turn to speak, and then they laughed us out of the room.
They made us dead last that day, too.
Yeah.
Dead last.
I think they did it on purpose.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to make these two fools sit in these folding chairs for 8 hours in the hallway.
It was so painful.
Yeah, so guess what?
But thanks for the press for picking up on that now, 7 years later, and still being mad at us.
Some started a petition in 2018. Yeah.
Still couldn't give us a plug.
Nope.
I love it.
Parents are usually encouraged to become more involved with their children. Not this time. Nope. There is a movement to stop going to your kids' practices.
Not go to practice.
Oh, practice.
Parents, drop your kids off.
Yeah.
If they're young, walk them to the practice. Mm-hmm. Go get in your car. Sit in your car. Play on your phone. Do whatever you want to do. Read a book.
Yeah.
Go for a walk.
Run. Yeah.
But do not go to the practice. This is a time for your kids to play.
I mean, I understand that. There's pros and cons of this.
Yeah, I mean, I understand a bit of what they're saying there. Once I can decipher from all of them yelling over each other.
I can't.
Yeah. But I definitely can see that there's some pluses for it. I think that the kid would matter, too. Like, what do you think about it? Like, what are the reasons that you think it's a plus?
Okay, so I am socially awkward. People always think that because I do this for a living.
I think you give yourself a hard time in that, but
right.
Sometimes you need a time out.
Right. But so when I see all the parents that are sitting there and they're talking to each other and they're friends, like I try to be friendly and all that, but
sure.
But I'm a weirdo. Like I don't always feel comfortable in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut reaction is to go sit in the car and scroll on my phone and watch from my car, and that's it. But
yeah.
I understand the importance of socializing with the parents and trying to become more involved, you know, as a community and build
sure.
a community.
Absolutely.
So the pros of staying at practice is that there's a couple cons. The cons are I am also a crazy person when it comes to sports that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. Okay. That's a real thing.
So when my younger daughter was playing soccer, I was asked to leave the field.
Right.
Because.
You interject.
Because when I'm, I have thoughts.
Yes.
I have thoughts.
That's a good way to summarize that.
And
yes.
Sometimes,
and emotional about it too.
And then they're like, ma'am, please get off the field.
Right.
And
you're not the coach.
You're not the coach.
Get out of here. She's six.
Yes, right. Exactly. All know. Those things come in.
Yeah.
But I will say that now that my daughter plays field hockey, and I don't know anything about field hockey.
Yeah.
I have no clue how the sport works, you know, only based on what I've watched my six-year-old do. I don't do that. And I kind of just stand off to the side. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I have to go sit in my car and scroll on my phone. Let's be honest, parents. That's what we want to do.
Yeah,
we want to just go sit in our car
right.
and scroll on our phone and just have silence for an hour if we have to be there, right?
Well, instead of looking at that as a cop-out, though, look at it like this, is that, you know, on the other hand, kids don't have to stand on their own all that often if you're always right next to them. Right. And even if it comes to practice, sometimes your kid needs some representation at practice or whatever. Let's be real about that. But
and
on the other hand, like
kids.
They have to grow.
Right. We should also point out, like, this is the younger children.
Yeah.
Obviously, once the kids get to be tweens, they're on their own.
Yeah.
For me, my issue is why I never drop off at practice and why I always stay. And this is I actually just texted my older daughter because she's bringing Dakota to a birthday party tonight.
Yeah.
I said, the bathroom. If they have to go to the bathroom, I feel like I always have to be present.
You have to be the one that handles
right.
that.
Like, the
right?
coach isn't bringing her to the bathroom.
I mean, that's true. On the other hand, like, it's an opportunity for them to learn to do things on their own.
I just texted Hayden, and I said, before you drop her off at the birthday party, make sure she goes to the bathroom. Like, I don't know why I'm so obsessed.
Stay in the parking lot in case she has to go to the bathroom.
In case you have to go into the birthday party because she has to go to the bathroom, stay close by. So I guess parents were being urge to drop off our kids, let them fly on their own.
That's right.
Sit in the car, scroll on your phone, take a nap. I mean, let's be honest, that's all we want to do anyway. So now we have permission to do it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Anna and Ravens, Pick'em News.
Three news stories that are trending right now, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven selects which one it is.
Give it to me.
Number one, man fights off burglar with Owala water bottle.
Okay.
Number two, man wearing a Speedo barges into sheriff's office.
I don't need to know about that.
Number three, jewelry store owner has a 2-carat diamond embedded into his artificial eye.
Very nice. I like that. That's stylish. But I'm going to go with the water bottle. How about the first one?
Okay, a man was able to fight off two home intruders using just his Owala water bottle.
Aren't they metal?
They are the heaviest things, and I can guarantee your teenager has one. Last night, I was in my daughter's car. She's 16. And I said, I need some water. And she handed it to me.
Yeah.
It is a weapon.
You nearly fell through the floorboards.
These
like
Yetis.
Like, it just weighed you down.
The Stanleys. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand, one, why we need our drinks so incredibly cold. And two, why they have to be so heavy.
Yeah.
So what happened to this guy?
Just hear, and then the alarm starts going off. So I grabbed it. And then I don't know what possessed me, but I got up and walked towards the door.
So he's
not
in his bedroom.
Not for nothing. This guy sounds like a very peaceful dude.
Right.
Like, he would have been relaxed. But now, when you paint him into a corner, it's going to be a wah-wah right upside your head.
A walla.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't afford it.
I stood here, and through the crack in glass, I saw two men, both with their hoods up. We sort of just awkwardly looked at each other for a couple of seconds before he lunged towards my waist. I swung once, hit him kind of on the temple, and then again on the side of his head. And I gave him a couple of very, very hard hits on the top of his head.
With the Owala water bottle.
He is so relaxed,
he's
this
like,
guy
you know
right here.
He's like, I was in bed, and I looked over and I said, what can I use as a weapon? Yeah. He's like, oh, look, here's my Owala water bottle. He's like, I could definitely really hurt a human being with this.
I love it. It's just like, don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
He stumbled backwards and then started trying to climb back over the fence. Cops arrived shortly thereafter. All was fine.
All was fine.
Yep.
I just beat him with this pink and purple Owala water bottle.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Where's a Ring camera when you need it, right? That would have been fun.
I was thinking about it. Okay, let's say you're in bed. You're asleep.
Yep.
You hear something happen. There's commotion.
I'm sure it sounds just like that.
Yeah. Right. Commotion outside your door.
Yeah.
Right. You can only grab something that's by your bed to be your weapon.
Yeah.
He used the Owala water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
What would you pick?
Well, there are weapons in my room, but let's say that none of those are available. I'm going to go with right now on my nightstand is The Outsider from Stephen King. It is 570 pages roundabout. So that's a heavy book, that
You'd
hardcover.
Smack him in the head with a book.
Yep. You just hit him right there, right up in the side of the face.
I have an alarm clock from, it has to be from when I was in high school.
Right.
But back when they made alarm clocks really, really well.
That thing weighs probably like 15 pounds and it's probably got metal edges.
It doesn't weigh a lot because it's like a plastic. I'm sure it was like $9 back in the day, but it works every single day of my life.
Right.
But
to wake you up.
I could hold it like an old school phone. Smash it.
Good grip on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably has sharp edges, too. I mean, being that old, like, they weren't caring about safety.
Right. No, 100%. 100%. So, there you go. You got an Owala water bottle. Multiple uses right there.
Somebody breaks into your house, improvise. That's the main thing.
I would just hide under the bed.
Improvise.
And now, Anna and Raven's Middle Schooler News.
Olivia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey. Thank you for being our middle schooler of the week. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do you want to give a shout out to anybody or say hi to your school or anything like that?
I would like to thank my teachers for teaching me so well and my mom.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's nice. She's like, let me hit the big ones up here on the front.
Where do you go to school? Let's give them a shout out.
I go to Thurgood Marshall.
Very nice. Congratulations to all those teachers who she loves so very much. All right, Olivia, give us those three big news stories. Let's start with the first.
Recently at school, I've been learning about a train in China that runs on magnetic fields and can reach speeds of 400 miles per hour, which totally shocked me. It reduces the need for fossil fuel, so it is so much better for the environment. It is also so much safer due to the high-end technology and safety features like collision detection and almost eliminates cornering issues. Unfortunately, the high cost to manufacture is keeping this from being available everywhere.
Well, you know what the crazy part is that like all over the world, they have these super fast trains, and it's common that that's how people get around.
Right. Here.
We can't quite figure it out.
Can't get it done.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, we need them everywhere.
Yes. Right.
They just put out faster trains with Amtrak, but they're nothing compared to those other ones. Yeah.
Olivia, you should make that up. You should figure out how to do that.
Yeah, fix that for us.
The infrastructure of American transportation. Right. If you could figure that out, like, we'll all be set for life.
It's not like we haven't tried.
You know what? Maybe I just will. You'll see.
Good I would job. Love that.
In the past month, two shipwrecks were found. A Sicilian vessel was found just off the coast of Florida after sinking 2,500 years ago. So far, over 1 million in gold and silver coins were discovered, and another ship was found in Lake Michigan. Many opportunities to be studied, which scientists are very fortunate to have found it so well preserved.
That's the thing about that cold water in the Great Lakes. It preserves stuff. It doesn't destroy the ships. They just sit down there forever, Anna.
Oh, I wish I could find treasure. If you could find treasure, Olivia, what would be the treasure that you want to find?
They say there's over a billion out there.
I'd say probably some type of preserved architecture from, you know, a few years ago, like maybe like a city train or something. It'll be really cool to find.
I would like gold. I'll just take the gold. I'll take all that gold.
I would also like gold, but would also take a preserved winning lottery ticket for $16 billion, if that's available.
I mean, the gold would be fine, too. That would do that for you, just so you know.
And Olivia, you have a friend that you're looking to help?
18-year-old Gianna Dale has fought her whole life to overcome the many limitations of numerous rare and debilitating autoimmune disorders. She has been fortunate to have many friends and family to assist her in navigating the challenges. Now that she's entering adulthood, she seeks independence and therefore is seeking to adopt a service dog, which will give her freedom to enjoy and participate in everyday activities that others take for granted. So she has started a GoFundMe called Gianna's Journey to Independence in hopes that her story will touch the hearts of others to help. Visit her GoFundMe, Gianna's Journey to Independence, to make a life-changing donation. All money goes directly to the purchase of the service dog. As her good friend, I am hoping the caring listeners of this broadcast will be moved to help her reach her goal.
I think you have a good friend there that you're trying to help out. And having a service dog is certainly a great thing, right?
Life-changing.
Yes. All right. Well, Olivia, thank you so much. You're a good friend and you were a great middle school reporter this week. Go change the world.
Thank you.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
Sometimes it just feels good to vent and get it off your chest. Doesn't matter if you're a mom or your dad, or if you just want to talk about kids, pets, your coworkers. What did you do this week that was hard? You accomplished it and you're happy it's the weekend. 1-800-330-9999. Gina.
I went and bought a bunch of birthday gifts for my nephews. I have four nephews, and they have very distinct personalities, and I managed to find things that each one of them is going to love.
I'd rather give a great gift than get a gift any day of the week.
Gosh, you just got me all worked up here because it's going to be Christmas time in like 10 seconds, and I got to get gifts and do that.
I have to start making the list.
Oh, gosh.
The list.
Right?
Oh.
Immediately, I got anxious. Well, good. Good job. Congratulations. I hope they all have fantastic birthdays. I'm sure they will.
Why'd you bring her down like that? She was so proud. And now she's like, wait a minute, I have to go spend $1 bazillion on Christmas gifts, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Enjoy that margarita.
Thank you.
Samantha, how about you? What'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I went to a baby shower.
I don't know why that made me laugh. I don't know why.
Because you know what a chore that is. I'm not an organized, fun person.
Oh, okay.
Were there games?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of games, lots of how much string fits around the mommy's belly.
I always found that one really, really mean.
Well, and it's also frustrating because it's like the different families like judging each other.
It's
like,
true.
Oh, they don't know how to dress themselves. Oh, everyone's fat over there. Like, there's always like pettiness, but I made it through.
It just got real. It got real in here.
My favorite game was always the you have to find it in your pocketbook. Uh-huh. And how violent that gets.
Oh,
people are just going crazy trying to find a bobby pin and trying to find a pair of scissors.
Random items you have.
Yes.
Right.
And everyone is worth a certain point.
And they get competitive.
And then they it's like, you're going to win a candle. That's what it's going to be.
Right.
And
right.
Everybody
just
relax.
Yeah. And whatever you win, you just very humbly give up to the mom.
I'm so glad
I won this, but we know who's going to need it more.
Well, I guess you could do that. Yeah.
Well, you enjoy your margarita. It's over. You did it. Yeah. It's done now.
Right, congratulations.
Yeah.
You don't sound like it's stuck to you at all.
Yeah. Hopefully there was an open bar.
Yeah. Sarah, what'd you do this week to earn yourself a margarita?
Not really what I did. It's actually what happened. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, my daughter's been going through a real lot for the last 2.5 years, and it was supposed to come to an end this week for trial. They postponed it till February.
Oh, gosh.
So we're all like, we deserve a nice vacation. It's been 2.5 years of hell. I mean, I'm glad the weekend's here. We can all sit back and relax and maybe have some kind of picnic or try and do something. But let me tell you. Do we deserve it or do we not?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just get the reprieve that you need so much, right? So
why this the court thing drives me crazy. Why does everything take so long?
Oh, it just takes forever.
I mean, they push back to February. That's like 4 months away. Imagine that you think your health's coming to an end and you got to wait another 4 months.
Yeah, it's never ending.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry
to
hear that.
We were so excited that it was it. And 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It's ridiculous.
It's a
really
game that's
is.
Played. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you enjoy your margarita. It is well deserved.
Yeah, and enjoy your family. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Being with us.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven. It's Megan and Jacob. Megan, what's going on?
My husband and I have been married for 5 years. I thought there were no secrets in our marriage, but turns out that I am wrong. So we share bank accounts and our finances. We're supposed to have access to everything. So one day I get the mail and I see a letter addressed to my husband, and I open it, and I find out that he has a secret credit card that he didn't tell me about. Confronted him about it, and he told me that I'm making a big deal out of nothing, that it was for emergencies. Then he added on in case he wants to buy something that I wouldn't like. I feel betrayed, and I don't know if I can trust him.
Okay.
All right, Jacob, what's your side of this? What's your explanation here?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how I got it originally. You know, I got it just in case. Have like some emergency expenses like that. I didn't think it was a big deal, but recently I've been criticized for little things. Like talking about things that are like $20, $10. It's not like I've racked up like $100 or like more than $100 on this thing, but if there's like a little thing that I know that I want for myself and I don't want to get criticized, then yeah, sometimes I will use it just to avoid, you know, the argument.
Yeah. Mm. I have separate finances, so we do things very differently in our household. I pay certain bills, she pays certain bills, and then we have banking that's independent of ours as well. And you guys, you don't do that,
no,
right?
No, we share everything. He had like a secret credit card for the things he didn't want me to see. I guess. Like, I don't know why he would do that.
Yeah, but
I mean,
if we're talking about...
It would be problematic.
Yeah, listen, nobody likes to feel like they found out a secret, right? I mean, especially if it hasn't been in there. On the other hand, I'm never looking at somebody else's finances or having them look at my bills. That feels intrusive. I wouldn't want to be hassled over a $10, $20 purchase either. If I want lunch, if I want a coffee or whatever, I don't want to hear about that. And having an emergency credit card is not out of the realm for me. That's kind of like a fail-safe. And for some people, you know, they're better off not knowing. But, you know, again, I guess every household is different.
Jacob, but when you got that credit card, you got it on purpose knowing that you could buy whatever you want with it and that she would never know, right? And otherwise, all your finances are shared and you both have jobs?
Yeah, all of our finances are shared. But I didn't get it thinking, you know, with nefarious intention. I got it with, like, the emergency in mind. I mean, what ended up happening was, I think when you make small purchases and you're criticized, I don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of autonomy. Like I said, like, I'm not spending hundreds of dollars on it.
I don't think it's the money. I don't think it's the spending. I think it's the fact that Megan feels like you lied to her.
Right. No, it's 100% the problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you both have jobs, is this such a big deal that he went and got a credit card on his own?
Sometimes you get a card offer and you're like, that's a great deal.
I mean, I have cards that, I mean, he also has the card, but I don't know.
He's not even aware they exist, really, in a way, right?
I guess. Like, yeah. You know, once every 6 months, we'll sit down and go through all our finances and go through each of them, so there's nothing hidden. And I guess that's the problem here, is that it was hidden. But let's see what the audience has to say. Would you be upset if you found out that your spouse purposely held a credit card to use just for their own purchases that they didn't want you to see?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Financial infidelity? I mean, that's a big, big claim to make.
Yeah.
What would you do if you found out that your husband had a quote-unquote secret credit card? It was a card to buy all the little things that he doesn't want you to know about. Video games, little knickknacks.
Yeah, food here or there, whatever. You know, well, listen, when you're getting judgment from your partner and your shared finances about little stuff that's incidental, sooner or later that's going to wear on you. Basically, though, Jacob says this was all, you know, part of a plan for an emergency credit card. It's no big deal. But Megan says, I feel like you've been lying to me. What else is there?
Well, they have shared finances and they both work and he has a card that he uses that she doesn't know about. I mean, I could understand why there would be some concern there. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Brandon.
I'm on his side. If it's just a credit card for incidentals and stuff that he just wants to buy for himself here and there, harmless stuff, it's totally fine. You don't have to share everything. If he's stashing away a giant account for a quick getaway when the time comes, that's a bigger problem than what they're addressing right now, for sure.
Yes, but it's prudent planning. Yes, thanks for the call.
I didn't realize he was planning an escape.
I mean, there was no jewels, there was no hotel, there was no vacation or anything like that.
Video games. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Financial infidelity? That's like a big fancy term to use for when you find out your spouse just has a credit card you didn't know about.
Yeah, and it sounds terrible, but is it really in this circumstance?
Maybe. So Megan and Jacob, they've been married for 5 years and they have shared finances. Both are employed. And she just found out that Jacob has a credit card that she knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it to buy stuff that he knows she doesn't want him to buy.
Yeah. Sometimes people find out that there's a secret family or another house or a condo. He's like, this is $10, $15, $20
video
purchases.
Games too. Yeah. Video games too.
Okay. All right.
What do you think? Is it wrong that he did this and got this credit card to hide from her? 1-800-330-9999. Stephanie.
You know, I'm on her side today because with already him not telling her about the credit card, that's already giving her trust issues. And especially, like, what if their finances are tight? What if they have to save money for something? You know, he said he's going to use it on video games. You know, he can have the ability to be financially independent. But as I said, what if their money situation is tight? What if they have to save money, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes in a relationship, you find out that somebody's got a financial past you weren't aware of.
Uh-huh.
That's tough.
Suzanne, whose side are you on?
Two things. Why is she opening her husband's mail, which I think is terribly wrong?
Yeah.
And secondly, yes, I think that's fine for him to have a credit card.
Yeah, she's like,
that's
ready.
My opinion.
Yeah, okay.
After 35 years of marriage, I think that's okay.
Do you open your wife's mail?
I do not.
I'm in charge of the mail at my house.
Yeah.
I open all our mail.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought, what could come in the mail that would be problematic?
It again, I mean, I think every household is different. I just don't open the mail because I've got enough junk mail with my name on it. What would be the point as far as I'm concerned? And Ann Raven, what do you think about this?
I'm on her side. I think that she should tell him that, look, just show me a record of your purchases and then that'll clear the air and we won't have to worry about it anymore. It'll be done with. And then we can trust each other and, you know, won't have to worry about it.
Mm. I think that opens up a bigger can of worms. Wow. All right, let me just see your entire history of every purchase you've ever made on this car, then we can move forward.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Megan, our audience agreed with you today. It was messed up that you did that, Jacob, because you share all your other finances. And how would you feel if you found out she had a credit card just to buy those $10, $20 things that she didn't want you to know about?
Yeah, no, I understand. And I think looking back, I should have been a little bit more honest, you know, up front. I got it with good intentions, but I think once I started to spend a little bit of money, I crossed that line. So I understand.
All right, fair.
It sounds harsh when we're talking about small balances. To me, that honestly is definitive. It's like, listen, if I turned around and found out that, you know, you owed $50,000 somewhere, then yeah, I'd be pretty stressed out about that. If I found out that you had a credit card with $500 on it, you were making your own purchases and you have a job, I don't know that I would care. But you know what, Megan? People understood your position and that it's not about the money. It's about the fact that there was a secret.
Yeah. I'm still flabbergasted. I don't even know what to say. I appreciate the support, though.
Well, maybe he can put a gift for you on that card.
Well, that's the problem about having all this shared stuff. Like when I had my 20-year anniversary,
yeah,
I was like, how am I going to buy this without him knowing it? I had to go dig up a card that I thought had closed itself because it was
right,
so old
right,
to be able to buy what I wanted to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, that puts it in an awkward situation. And if you know you have, like some people handle the big picture finances in a household and other people don't, right? So if you know that there's things coming on the horizon, you get an offer for 2 years interest free or whatever, you might just fill that out anyways, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're at the store and they're like, you get 30% off. You know, how many times does that happen? So,
all right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,900 is the cash jackpot today for Can't Beat Raven. Emily, you feeling confident and ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Good luck. $1,900.
Okay. All right. All right, Emily. Raven is walking out. That door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. If you're not sure, just guess. Don't screw this up. I want to give you this money on a Friday. Ready?
Yes.
All right, number one. Ghostbusters tops a list of the best horror comedies. What is the name of the giant marshmallow creature that attacks New York City?
Ghost.
Number 2, Michael Keaton's name was misspelled on his Pittsburgh Wall of Fame plaque. They spelled Michael incorrectly, but can you spell Keaton?
K-E-A-T-O-N.
Number 3, just in time for Halloween, HBO debuts It, Welcome to Derry, the prequel to the movie. What's the name of the clown in It that carries a red balloon?
Pennywise.
Number four, the Portland Trailblazers head coach and Miami Heat's guard Terry Rozier were arrested in a massive gambling sting that involved insider player info and rigged poker games. If you have a three of a kind and a pair in poker, what is that called?
A queen of hearts.
And number five, Nobody Wants This is back for season two on Netflix. In the show, Kristen Bell is a podcaster in love with Adam Brody, and he's a what?
He's a singer?
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Two out of five for Emily.
Not great. Here we go. $1,900.
Number one, Ghostbusters tops the list of the best horror comedies. What is the name of the giant marshmallow creature that attacks New York City?
He's the Marshmallow Man. Yes. The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yes, the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
Number two,
Puffed spelled P-U-F-T.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Speaking of spelling, Michael Keaton's name was misspelled on his Pittsburgh Wall of Fame plaque. They spelled Michael incorrectly, but can you spell Keaton?
K-E-A-T-O-N?
Yes. Just in time for Halloween, HBO debuts It, Welcome to Derry, the prequel to the movies. What's the name of the clown in It that carries a red balloon?
Pennywise. Yes. We all float down here, Georgie.
Number four, the Portland Trailblazers head coach and Miami Heat's guard, Terry Rozier, were arrested in a massive gambling sting that involved insider player info and rigged poker games.
It is wild.
If you have a three of a kind and a pair in poker, what's that called?
Three of a kind and a pair? That's a full house.
It sure is. Number five, Nobody Wants This is back for season two on Netflix. In the show, Kristen Bell is a podcaster, and she's in love with Adam Brody, who is a what?
He's a rabbi, right?
Yep. Emily, five. I should have said wrong first one. Oh, Marshmallow Man was right. Whatever. Emily, unfortunately, you are not the winner today, but you will get an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, dang. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, go. When we come back on Monday, $2,000, Anna.